What makes someone a balanced leader? Hey there, this is your friend and guide, Caroline. On today's Balanced Leader, my incredible guest and I share strategies to help you lead with confidence, stay resilient, and avoid burnout. This isn't just about leadership. It's about thriving holistically, in mind, body, and spirit. Ready to recalibrate? Well, let's dive in and create the balanced life you deserve. Today is a best of episode, but not in the usual sense. This isn't a highlight reel. It's not about popularity or downloads or what sounded good in the moment. This is a reflection on the conversations that stayed with me throughout the year. The ones that didn't just land intellectually, but continued to echo quietly after the recording ended. Today's Balanced Leader was created because I was watching capable, intelligent, deeply committed women lead teams, businesses, families, and privately question themselves. Women who looked successful on paper but felt unsettled inside. Women who weren't broken or burnt out but were clearly carrying more than they were meant to carry alone. So today, I want to slow things right down. And as you listen, I invite you to take notes, not to fix anything, not to figure anything out, but just to notice, what is it that makes you exhale? What feels familiar in your body? And what brings up a quiet, yes, that's me? Because that's usually where the real work lives. These conversations aren't about becoming better. They're about understanding yourself more honestly. So let's begin. I wanted to begin with a clip from Risa Bregoli, looking back around trust, change, and humanity. And this conversation with Lisa spoke to something foundational for me. And before I even say anything else, I want you to picture the kind of leader this lands for. It lands for the leader who truly cares. The leader who actually thinks about how decisions land on people. And the leader who can feel the emotional ripple of change in a room. If that's you, this is your episode. Because change itself isn't usually the issue. Most people understand that organizations evolve, roles shift, priorities change. What hurts people is how the change is carried. And what stayed with me in Lisa's conversation or story was her experience of being on both sides of the table, because I've lived that too. Being the leader who understands the business decision while also carrying the emotional weight of what that decision means for real people. Because trust me, that duality can feel really heavy. I remember being in rooms where leadership was focused on timelines and messaging decks, while employees were at home wondering if their lives were about to change. And that gap between what leadership knows and what employees fear is where trust breaks. And Lisa points out something so simple, yet so powerful. Trust isn't rebuilt through perfect communication. It's rebuilt through presence, through saying, here's what I know, here's what we don't know, and I'm not disappearing while we figure it out. Because a lot of leaders think professionalism means distance, but distance doesn't create safety. Presence does. And Lisa reminded us that people don't need you to have perfect answers. They just need you to stay in the room with them. They need your honesty. They need steadiness. And they need to feel respected. And when leaders skip those parts, what you get isn't just a resistance to change. That's where disconnection happens. Now let's take a listen to the clip from Lisa.
And I remember 2 years in being like, okay, I get that we have to change the team. I get that we have to lay off the team or things of that nature, but how do we do it from a place of respect? How do we do it from a place of empathy? Because we preach so much on how we need to have these employees be loyal to us. How do we not be loyal back to them? And in 2022, I now, for the first time, received it on the other end. I got the dreaded call, actually, this time last year. It was right before Thanksgiving that my role was going to be eliminated. And honestly, Caroline, we talked a little about this already, but for the listeners, I did not expect it. I was over eight states. I was over 5,000 employees. So in my mind, I was almost untouchable. And I think a lot of people that hear that dreaded news that their role's being eliminated are shocked. It comes out of nowhere. But I share that because as I was going through it, I was in a unique spot because as an HR leader, my role was eliminated, but I still had a job to do to help the other people that were eliminated. So for 3 months, I was carrying that weight while helping these other 100 plus people with the same information. And it was during that time, don't get me wrong, I was crying, I was all the things during it. But about 2 months in, I was like, you know what? This is my calling. I'm now realizing all these years being on the other side of the table, it's now my time to be on the other side from a consulting firm to help healthcare organizations and actually just organizations altogether that are experiencing some type of reorg, some type of merger, some type of acquisition. How do we accelerate trust when trust is broken so we can ultimately reduce turnover in a space that feels good?
So, if you're leading change right now, I want you to hear this with gentleness. You don't have to carry it perfectly. You don't have to protect people from reality. You just have to lead it with humanity. That's why this conversation made my the best of list. It's not just leadership skill, it's leadership integrity. All right, great. I hope you enjoyed that. Now let's listen to my guest number two, Chris Momoa. This conversation mattered to me because it named something leadership culture often avoids. Life does not pause because you have a responsibility. And yes, that sounds obvious, but it's not how most leaders operate. Most leaders have been trained to keep showing up. Keep functioning, keep producing, even when something inside them is heavy. And Chris got into it. And grief? It doesn't always look like what we think. Sometimes grief is loud, but often it's quiet. It shows up as an overwhelm, as a distraction, as numbness. Maybe even as exhaustion that you can't explain, as feeling off but still performing. And grief isn't only about death, it can be the loss of a relationship, a family rupture, a season of life ending, a version of yourself you thought you'd always be, or of a life that you always dreamed of. Let's take a listen to what Chris had to say.
And I truly believe that there's not enough conversation about grief. So you've got somebody in your back corner that's willing to support you and help you through it. And at the end of the day, it's going to allow you to become not only a better person, but a more empathetic person when somebody else is going through grief, which is what the world needs right now. And refer if you've got a friend, just say, hey, it doesn't hurt to have a free call with Chris if you're going through something.
I appreciate you sharing your own grief story as we've gone through the podcast today. I really appreciate you being vulnerable enough to do that. And this was just a very purposeful, meaningful conversation. And I hope that whoever listens to this can take away one or two things that are going to help them on their journey because you all have a beautiful gift. And I want you to know that you guys all have something to give back and contribute to this world. And when you find those gifts, go out there and give because that's the best way to heal.
So, I've coached leaders who thought they were losing their edge. And when we slowed down, what they uncovered was they were carrying something really heavy without permission to acknowledge it. And that's why Chris's words are so important, because grief doesn't make you less capable, it makes you human. And humanity, when it's allowed, actually deepens leadership. Because leaders who've walked through grief often lead differently. They listen more carefully. They notice what other people miss. They don't rush the discomfort, not because they're trying to be soft, but because they understand what it feels like to carry something quietly. And this is one of my favorites because it gives people permission to stop judging themselves. And if you've been hard on yourself for not being back to normal, this episode reminds you that maybe you're not broken. Maybe you're just carrying something real, but you don't have to carry it alone. All right, let's check out guest number 3 with Dr. Anna Levy Warren. This episode stayed with me because it removed shame from something so many high-achieving women are living. I hear it constantly. I don't trust myself anymore. I can't focus the way I used to. I feel scattered. I'm busy all day, but I'm not effective. And what makes it worse is the story they tell themselves. They wonder what's wrong with themselves. And what Anna helped explain is that very often, nothing is wrong with you. It's just your capacity is overloaded. And when capacity is overloaded, clarity doesn't respond to pressure. Clarity responds to space. Let's take a listen. Life feels louder, faster, more overwhelming for so many of them. And, you know, in my coaching sessions, I see people running nonstop, but they feel scattered. They don't feel purposeful. They feel reactive and they're disconnected. Are you seeing these patterns in your world? And can you share an example of how that impacts a leader's ability to stay organized and grounded?
Yeah, of course. I mean, honestly, that is the number one complaint I think I hear, and especially because I work with a lot of people who have these kind of executive functioning challenges, which just means that life feels more overwhelming and sort of more exhausting in that way. And it's just a really challenging part of these devices and being able to be constantly reached and having things pop up. And we are sort of being told by the things around us that we should be multitasking all the time when actually we're not really capable of it. And most people can't shift sets, meaning like go back and forth between things in the way that they think they can. So instead of being able to thoughtfully and intentionally consider what is most important, we're being told what's most important and reacting to it in sort of an emergency crisis style, which means that the things just fall off at the bottom of that barrel or pile without you even knowing that that necessarily happened. So I think there's just a million examples of that from the smallest moment in a day where you're sitting there, you know, working on a project or a brief or a PowerPoint or whatever version of it you have. And you know, somebody emails you or texts you or calls you and you respond to that and then you lose where you were in the other thing you were doing and really kind of lose your train of thought and how you were thinking about something. And then you may not even get back to it because you may actually have lost your view on it. So that's like the tiniest daily example. But then there's also just like the larger life example where there's so many things flooding you all the time that you can't make intentional choices about actually living your values, right? Of saying, oh, you know, family, lots of people say to me, family is so important to me. And it's like, when did you last time you had family dinner? And they can't remember because there's so many things coming up in a daily way that really derail you. So I think there's both that sort of small individual moment in a day and those larger sort of week, month, year examples that really take us out of it.
And this one mattered because most high achieving women respond to overload by pushing harder. More to-do lists, more systems, more control. And when that doesn't work, they feel even worse. This is why this conversation was so powerful. It replaces self-judgment with understanding. When leaders understand what's happening, they stop attacking themselves. Awareness, right? And when they stop attacking themselves, they get to lead differently. Because they pause, they prioritize, they communicate more clearly. They stop living in reaction. It reminds me of a client who said, my brain feels like it's buffering all the time. That's the perfect language for what this episode addresses. And hearing that it's not a personal failure, that it's a capacity issue, is often the first moment a leader softens. So this episode is a reminder that sustainable leadership isn't about pushing harder. It's about creating conditions where clarity can return. All right, let's move on to number four, my guest, Katie Townsend. I included this conversation because it speaks directly to identity. And I think, especially for women, we've learned to equate worth with output. And I want to say this slowly because this is easy to miss. A lot of women don't struggle because they're not capable. They struggle because they built a life where their nervous system only feels safe when they're producing, and producing a lot. Let's take a listen to what Katie had to say.
The first thing that comes to mind is that your body holds every single answer that you're looking for. I talk a lot with my clients and in my brand, your body is your business partner. If you're willing to meet yourself inside, meet all the parts of you and the emotions and all the things that you're feeling, and you do the work to connect to that continuously, over and over and over, because it's an ever evolving process, because you're constantly collecting, it's like a computer, you're constantly collecting new data from outside of you, you're constantly exposed to new experiences. So that means there's going to be new operating programs, glitches, opportunities, programming to be worked with, to be shaped, to be molded, to be processed, to be recategorized. And when you make your body your partner in life, in business, in leadership, you are going to open the door to not only success that you can never even imagine, like all those goals and dreams and aspirations for the raises, for the promotions, for the insane incomes that are coming in every month, for the first class trips, the speaking on stages, the book deals, all of those things are going to come to fruition. And you're actually going to be able to meet them with joy and presence and a level of gratitude and appreciation that allows you to experience even more of that. It's like a multiplying effect. And you're going to have something that is sustainable, not because of a system or because of some magical freaking thing that somebody gave you, but because you have a body that is tended to and can hold the levels of extraordinary success that you desire and that are made for you, right? And so I would say making your body your partner in everything you do, not living in your head, but living between your head, your body, and your heart, and integrating those parts of you, that is going to allow everything else that has to happen to actually work, and you to show up as the person who's able to multiply it in every capacity.
And what stayed with me wasn't the strategy. It was the question underneath it. Who are you being while you're building the life you say you want? Because you can hit milestones and still feel heavy. Not because you're ungrateful, but because the identity driving the success is rooted in proving. Think about that. I've worked with women who reached goals and felt emptier on the other side than they ever did. And they assumed something was wrong with them. But often what happened is simpler and braver. They've outgrown the identity that got them there. And letting go of who you've been can feel scarier than staying uncomfortable, because that version of you once kept you safe and wants to continue to do so. So this episode with Katie matters because it invites leaders to look at the cost of who they've been and whether that identity still fits. Sometimes growth isn't about adding more. Sometimes growth is the decision to become truer, even if it disrupts what people expect from you. All right. And my final episode, last but not least, is an episode where we talked about the year-end integration. And it was a solo episode that I did. So I want to slow this part down. Because if you're listening near the end of the year, there's often a quiet pressure in the background, a sense that you should be reviewing, assessing, planning, fixing. And I want to interrupt that gently because nothing needs to be decided right now. If you're feeling tired, uncertain, reflective, or emotionally quieter than usual, that doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It often means you've outgrown something and your system is asking for space before the next chapter forms. Many women come to me thinking they're stuck, but when we slow down, what we often discover is that they're not stuck, they're just between identities. You're no longer who you were when you set certain goals, but you haven't fully met who you're becoming yet. And that can be a little unnerving. That in-between space can feel really uncomfortable, especially for high-achieving women who are used to clarity, momentum, and progress. Let's take a listen.
It's about getting honest with ourselves. As we step into June and enter the halfway mark of the year, it's not just about pushing harder. It's pausing long enough to ask the questions most of us avoid when we're on autopilot. Am I aligned with what I set out to do this year? Is the version of success I'm chasing still true to who I am now? Or have I slipped into old patterns of people-pleasing, overachieving, and striving to prove something just to keep up? This is your moment to get honest, because hustle without direction is just exhaustion. And progress without purpose, well, that's burnout dressed up as ambition. This isn't just a motivational pep talk. It's a reset, a reckoning, and a realignment with the truth of what matters most to you and the practical embodied steps that you're going to need to move toward it. Together, we're going to look at where you are right now, not just from a place of shame or judgment, but from self-leadership. Then we're going to break down your goals, not just the ones that you wrote down in January, but the ones still quietly living inside you, the ones that are tugging at your heart at 2 o'clock in the morning, the ones you're scared to say out loud because you're just not sure if there's still time. And then we're going to make them tangible because goals aren't magic, they're built. And results don't come from willpower alone, they come from consistent embodied action. So get ready because I'm going to walk you through a compassionate check-in to review your year so far, how to reconnect with the why behind your goals, then how to turn big dreams into simple, doable daily steps. And we're going to wrap it up with how to rewire the patterns that keep pulling you off course. This isn't just about being more productive. It truly is about being more present to yourself, to your values, to the life that you actually want to be living.
So this is where year-end reflection gets misunderstood. It's not to be a performance review of your life. It's meant to be a listening. So instead of asking, "Did I do enough?" I invite you to ask, "What did this year ask of me?" Maybe it asks you to carry more than you expected. Maybe it asked you to let go of a version of yourself that kept pushing. Maybe it asked you to stay present through something that you couldn't fix. None of that shows up neatly on a goal list, but it matters deeply. And I want you to hear this clearly. Many goals don't fail, they just expire. Because we grow and we change, and so do businesses. And then we keep chasing something that no longer fits because we're afraid to admit we've evolved. Why is that? If something you want earlier this year doesn't carry the same energy now, that doesn't mean you quit. It means you listened. And listening is leadership, especially self-leadership. So remember, you don't need a plan yet. You just need permission to be where you are because evolution doesn't happen through urgency. It happens through honesty, gentleness, and time. Thanks for listening to these episodes, but before we close, I want to name something that's been unfolding quietly behind the scenes. This podcast has been called Today's Balanced Leader, and balance has mattered to me, especially in seasons where everything felt overwhelming, unsustainable, uncertain. But now suggest something static to me, something you achieve and then maintain. And that to me is not what leadership or life actually look like. So if balance has felt harder to hold, it's not a failure. It's often the first signal of growth. That's what I've come to realize. What I see in the woman I work with isn't a lack of balance. It's evolution. It's growth. It's recalibration. It's becoming. And women shedding identities that once kept them safe but now feel tight. Leaders realizing that what worked before no longer fits. People learning to listen inward instead of pushing outward. And sometimes that evolution is quiet. It shows up as different choices, different boundaries, different definitions of what success is, even when nothing on the outside has really changed. So for me, balance now says hold everything steady, where evolution says allow yourself to change. And that's why I'm going to be changing the name of the show to Today's Evolving Leader. Because leadership today isn't about having it all figured out. It's about staying present through growth, through uncertainty, and through becoming without abandoning yourself. And I'm honored to walk this path with you. Thank you for being here and for allowing yourself to evolve too. Thanks for tuning in to Today's Balanced Leader. If you want to go even deeper, then visit my website at carolinebarrett.com, find some free resources, and look at all the different ways that I can support you to become your best self. Remember, change begins with just one small step. It's those tiny actions that start you on the path to achieving your dreams and finding balance. And as always, life is an experience. So take a moment to enjoy the journey and appreciate the progress you make along the way. Until next time, keep taking those small steps, savor the journey, and lead with courage and authenticity. This is Caroline reminding you to stay bold, stay balanced, and keep moving confidently towards your dreams.